Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Beverly Flaxington's here too, ladies and gentlemen. Bev is a new friend, not a new member of our brain trust. Not a new friend. She's been on the show before, but she is a 2012 model of our brain trust. She's an accomplished business consultant, corporate trainer, and coach. She's a behavioral expert, and tries her best with me, but she's not making much headway in my behavior. And a hypnotherapist. How about that? She's also the author of Make Your Shift, the 5 Most Powerful Moves you Can Make to Get Where You Want to Go. And she's our friend, Beverly Flaxington. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. So happy to be here.
Good to have you back. So what do we need to know about what's the new normal going to look like for the rest of our careers, Beverly?
Well, I think it's going to be a combination, Jim, of doing a lot more problem solving as well as, you know, getting more clarity about where is it that we're really headed. You know, I think that the day where somebody else would tell us, this is what you need to do, this is where you need to go, I think those days are rapidly coming to an end. And the other thing that I'm seeing is in so many cases, companies, whether they're big, they're small, they're really looking to their employees to come up with solutions. So I think that combination of we better get more clear about where it is we think we need to be, as well as, you know, learn how to get rid of some of those obstacles and problem solve for ourselves.
In the end of the last millennia, 97, 98, 99, I used to give speeches on what I talked about, the entrepreneurial organization. And I said, you can't have an entrepreneurial organization. I defined that, you know, that organization. But I said, you can't have one of those without entrepreneurial employees.
Yeah.
And what I said was, an entrepreneurial employee is someone who wants to take risks just as much as the entrepreneur does. It's just that they want to do it with your capital.
I agree with that completely. But, you know, I do see this dichotomy that exists. And I have youngish children. They're all still in the school system, grammar school, middle school, high school. And, you know, we're not, in a lot of cases, though, teaching our kids to think out of the box. I mean, there still is, you know, a sense of there's a right and there's a wrong. And if you're somebody, one teacher said to me, you know, your child isn't so much out of the box as the fact that he doesn't seem to know that there is a box. And I said, great.
I kind of like that response, huh?
Exactly. But, you know, her point to me was he's in trouble. Uh-huh. And so I think that, you know, there is this, a little bit of this dichotomy, Jim, that we don't teach people that it's okay to take some risks, to step out and not do things that are disruptive and troublesome, but just try something new.
But see, this is where we come back to your first statement, which is problem solving.
Yeah.
Don't just get into trouble for trouble's sake. If you're going to get into trouble trying to create something that needs to be fixed or doesn't exist.
Well, and I am heartened by, you know, we do see so many young people these days doing things entrepreneurially. I mean, and I think at the college where I teach, the entrepreneur program has just exploded because a lot of students coming into school see that where they want to go is to be their own boss. So, you know, I think it's a mixed message. I think that there's some benefit to going and, you know, slugging it out in a regular company, working for someone else just to get perspective. But I think that you always want to be looking and thinking out of the box. How can I change things? How can I contribute here? That entrepreneurial mindset. So you're ahead of your time, Jim.
Is that what employers want to hear right now when an employee shows up? Do they want to hear someone who sounds like they're not going to just sit around waiting on an assignment to be given to them?
I think they do. I don't know that in all cases you have employers embracing the idea of, you know, coming up with these creative new ways. I do think that there are still some managers who would say, do it the way we've done it, just get it done. That said, I think to a person, people want somebody who is enthusiastic about the job and is looking for what else can I take on, you know, what else can I learn?
Well, you know, one of the things that, I think is important, if I have a new employee, I don't necessarily want them to be, you know, be testing the boundaries early on when they barely find out where the bathroom is. But I do think that they could demonstrate that they have that inclination,
yeah,
and that acumen by taking ownership. That's, to me, that's a huge thing for an employee to do, in my opinion, is to take ownership of their world, their assignment. What do you think?
I do. You know, there's a theory about the fact that we really are always our own bosses, and I mm-hmm. think that if we can think about it that way, and again, not look to someone else to say, you know, here's the next assignment or here's the next thing to take on. And Jim, I do think the days of, you know, responding with it's not my job are out the window. We could come across some interesting research on, they called it career-limiting behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was things like procrastination, negativity.
Yeah, negativity drives me nuts. I have a negativity antenna that runs up real quick.
But you see this in organizations, and it really is something.
Bad attitude. I can't stand it.
But it festers, and people, I just...
Not around me. Not around me. Those people go find their life somewhere else.
Well, you'll get a kick. I just did some work on, I called it using gossip in a productive manner, because I'm seeing in so many companies where you have people and they're spending way too much time complaining about what needs to be fixed. So, you know, I've been trying to encourage managers and leaders to say, okay, we know people are talking about it. Let's get our arms around this and use this productively. Get them in a room, raise the issues, but then turn it back on them and say, how do you want to solve some of this?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. If you've got that much going on, then your folks have too much time on their hands. And, I think you need to look at an organizational issue there, right? Not just a personnel issue. What do you think?
I think so. I do think in a lot of cases, at least my own experience has been that, you know, again, people aren't taught good time management skills. They're often not taught how to prioritize well, project management. I mean,
right.
Jim, the truth is that a lot of folks just lack some of these fundamental skills. And I do.
Are you seeing this as a generational thing?
I think it probably is generational,
yeah.
And I think it is just, you know, mm-hmm. lack of access.
We're going to get some more wisdom from Beth Flaxington about workers and employers and the relationship together and what we've, you know, folks, we need each other, so we need to learn how to get along and work well together, and we're going to get Beth to help us more with that after these messages. 20 after, the book is called Make Your Shift, Beverly D. Flaxington.
Hi, Jim Blasingame here. I want to tell you...
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.